Eels are pretty amazing. Even if you think they can't make their way through, they often can. They can slither and climb waterfalls up to 20 metres. They actually migrate thousands of kilometres to breed in the Pacific Islands. But there are some things in a stream that can actually restrict their movement, can stop them getting past, and that's eels and whitebait too, other freshwater species. And that can be a big problem, reduces their abundance and their distribution. And then who knows what impact that has on the rest of the ecology. Well, freshwater ecologist Dr. Tanya Blakely from Boffa Miskell is with me to tell us how we can help travelling freshwater species in our neighbourhood. Tanya joins me now. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
Good, I've tried to explain the problem there. How have I done? Were you worried about things blocking the stream, basically, hey?
Yeah, totally, yeah, and you've done pretty well, do you see, and explaining it really. I mean, yeah, we've got lots of really neat freshwater fish that live in our rivers and streams. It's pretty unusual in New Zealand where we've got a really great number of those that are migratory, so they need to be able to move between rivers and streams and then to the ocean to complete their various life stages. So you talked about eels breeding in the deep water trenches out in the Pacific Ocean. That's a pretty massive trip to take to have their babies. But when we build roads, have water intakes, all those kinds of things where we put structures or build structures in waterways, that can actually be quite a significant barrier and actually basically sever that connection, that ecological connection along a waterway. And it's a real problem for basically cutting off breeding and feeding habitats for these species.
What sorts of structures are problematic?
There's a bit of a priority list or from good to bad when it comes to structures in waterways. Bridges are generally best, and that's because bridges, you know, imagine a bridge, for the most part, they've got their abutments or things outside of or on the bank, and so they're not really putting much in the way of barrier or physical structures in the riverbed. And then you have culverts, or pipes, which are really common, ford crossings as well, weirs, and then, of course, dams too. So any of those sorts of things that create a physical structure and change the way a river flows and the way a bed moves along a river can be really problematic for fish.
Can you describe a culvert?
A culvert, think of a pipe, basically, and they come in all types of sizes. Culverts can also be box culverts, so they can be square or cubes, but basically then they're popped onto the bed of the stream, and then the road or whatever it is that you're trying to get across the waterway is built on top of that.
What
and they
is...
can be from teeny tiny pipes to really, really big pipes.
Okay. What's the one where there's where they're like that, but they are vertical, so that when the waterway reaches a certain height, it overflows through the pipe? Is that one I'm making up?
Yeah.
Okay, don't worry.
We could be talking about some sort of culvert and weir type structure.
Okay.
So sometimes we use weirs. Weirs are used for engineering purposes to hold back water. So maybe if there's a water take that's required upstream to actually create some water depth upstream, and then you can take the water from up there.
Okay.
And so that kind of almost creates a bit of a waterfall down the face of often a concrete structure.
Because fish have to go both ways, right? Sometimes they have to go downstream and upstream.
They do, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, it varies also on the species that you're looking at. So we've got something like 50 native species, a bunch of sports fishes as well. And many, many of those require free access along waterways and also between freshwater and marine environment. So we're thinking about the migratory species, but we're also really important, they need to think about there's a bunch of non-migratory species as well, so they don't need to go to sea to complete their breeding or complete their life cycles, but they do need to move within a waterway. So it depends on the species, it depends on the life stage. And you're talking about eels, which grow really large and are very long-lived, right through to, you mentioned, whitebait. So that's one of the species is enanga or enaka, and that's much more coastal and generally shorter lived than an eel, for example.
Okay, you've built the Fish Passage Assessment Tool, or NIWA has. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so NIWA built the Fish Passage Assessment Tool. Fish passage is ridiculously hard to say sometimes, isn't it?
It is. And fish passage assessment is even harder.
Yeah. So we like to call it the FPAT. And so NIWA built this, and it's a citizen science app. It's been around for a while now, a number of years. It's most recently, the Ministry for Environment is very committed to continued building and updates to this app or this tool. It's a really great tool. It's pretty user friendly. It can be downloaded from the usual places, Apple App and Google Play Store and that kind of thing. The really neat thing about it is it's actually been designed to help capture all of the data that's required for a bunch of new pieces of legislation. So the National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management and the National Environmental Standards for Freshwater. So it's a really handy tool. It means you can go out and anyone can use it, really. You can go out and walk along your stream in your backyard or in your neighbourhood. And if you come across a road crossing or some sort of structure in a waterway, you can pop through the various pull-down menus and actually assess that structure. And it will prioritise that. Basically, it helps to make a decision about the urgency, I suppose, or the need to fix that, either through removing the structure or by remediating it and putting a bunch of other things in there to make it much better for fish passage.
Yeah. I mean, if you're on private land, no one's going to come along and remove the obstruction for you, are they? But it's just a way of mapping all of our waterways so that you can get a bit of an overview about which ones are blocked and which aren't. So, and I guess that'll inform policy decisions and so forth.
Exactly. Yeah, and regional councils have basically got a pretty big task at the moment with the new National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management that came in 2020 to essentially go out and what you just said, map all our waterways and identify where all these structures are and identify how to prioritise the ones that need to be removed or fixed.
How many of our waterways have been assessed already, by the way?
Pardon?
How many of our waterways have already been assessed?
Oh, look, I haven't got that number in front of me, but because the app's been around for such a long time, there has been quite a lot that have been assessed. But
I've got 63% here. Does that sound right to you?
Pardon?
63% I've got in front of me. Does that sound right to you?
I'm not sure. I honestly don't know.
Okay, all good. What might someone at home need before they give this thing a go?
Yeah, it's a really nice, easy tool to use. So you download it on your phone or your tablet or your iPad or whatever, and you need some gumboots or some waders or just some sneakers or runners that you don't mind getting wet. And it's quite handy to take a tennis ball and a stopwatch. Usually you can use the stopwatch tool on the tablet or the iPhone or whatever. And that's pretty much all you need, actually.
It says here a tennis ball. What's a tennis ball for?
Tape measure, a ruler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the tennis ball. So that's a handy thing to have with you, and that's to help measure velocity. So how quickly is the water flowing through a structure and around a structure? That's one of the really important components of determining whether a structure is a barrier to fish passage. Because velocity or the speed that the water is flowing can become so great that some species just can't get through it. It's just too fast. And so the tennis ball is really handy because it'll float on the water surface and you can basically just measure, you count how long it takes for the tennis ball to float along a set distance, and that helps you calculate velocity.
Good one. We're going to put a link to it on our website, Tanya, if people want to have a play with it. And thanks so much for talking us through it today.
No problem. Thank you.
That thing I was trying to describe was a scruffy dome over a manhole. A little bit of Googling has told me.